Boker Tov world. Today's daf. First, before we begin, let me mention that Reb Daniel's father-in-law, today is his yahrzeit, and so we'll learn Le'ilui Nishmas Ro Ben Rivka. Okay, so today's daf is daf Nunhei, and we've just completed a basic structure of all of the various psukim that we utilize to tell me the dinim that were not so clear either from Achrimot alone or from Kedoshim alone. Putting them all together, we came up with some fantastic insights, different ways of being Dorish Pasuk, but basically we worked out what each one of the words means, both in Achrimos and in Kedoshim, and the Mamatzinos, and the possible Zereshoves. Then we moved on after the Inyonim of Imai and Eshes Aviv. We moved on to the Sugya of Behima and Zohar. It turned out that we had some important machlokasin that were Nogea, Halacha, Lamaisa in terms of Chatos. So we had, basically we know that we've got really three completely different areas in which we have the Psukim, because here, when it comes to Behema, we need to actually take into consideration the Pasuk also in Shmos, which we didn't have in the other cases, which is the Kol Shochev in Behema Mot Yumat. So that added another dimension. And what we ended up with is understanding that there's really three different situations that we need to think about. And in terms of the question of Zachur, we haven't really finished that yet, but we pointed out that Rashi understands that there's a fundamental difference between Zachur and Zachar. And we'll see today particularly that that's extremely important and changes our entire perception. According to some, it changes the perception of all the Arayot, but I must say I don't buy into that at all. But in any event, we've got the Bechol Behema Lo Titen Shechavtecha. So that was in terms of the active partner, and the same thing we had for Etzachar Lo Tishkav. Now the question is, how about the passive partner? What would we know, what would be the mocker for that? So there we had a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and we had a secondary machlokas between Rabbi Abo and Abaye as to what Rabbi Shmuel really meant. So where we were talking about the idea of the Zachor, Rabbi Shmuel said, and Abaye claimed he doesn't really mean it, but Rabbi Shmuel said that in both of these cases, the passive would be Lo Yeh Kadesh. So whether we were talking about Zachor, we were talking about Behema, what Rabbi Shmuel, the words Rabbi Shmuel said was Lo Yeh Kadesh, and Rabbi Abo takes him at his word and understands that there is an Isser of Lo Yeh Kadesh. Now remember, when it comes to a woman, you could say the woman is passive, that's all very nice, but there's a completely different Isser on a woman, which is Ve'isha Lo Ta'amod Lifnei HaBehema. But that's not the same thing as a male who is actually being penetrated by an animal. So over there, we needed to have a different pasuk because it doesn't follow from the din of the Isha. So therefore, according to Rabbi Abo, Rabbi Shmuel meant Lo Yeh Kadesh, whereas according to Abaye, Rabbi Shmuel just said Lo Yeh Kadesh, but in reality, prostitution doesn't make sense with an animal. There's no real, what we're talking about with an animal is not really a sexual act, it's a genital act, where we defined it differently yesterday. And therefore, the real makar was Bechol Behema Lo Titen Shechovtecha, and we understand Shechovtecha would mean in either direction. Don't make yourself part of the copulation. And Rabbi Akiva says that when it comes also to the passive partner, he says it's the same pasuk. Et Zachar Lo Tishkav also can be read Et Zachar Lo Tishakev. Don't make yourself the object of copulation by a Zachar. And he does the same thing, Rabbi Akiva, with the pasuk of the Behema, which is basically the way I understood Rabbi Shmuel. Namely, Uvchol Behema Lo Titen Shechovtecha, says Rabbi Akiva, that means do not become a partner to the copulation of an animal. So according to him, there's no difference really between the active or the passive partner in terms of a male to male or male to behemoth. That's not to include the separatists, of course, of Isha to behemoth. So that basically sums up what we had yesterday. However, we still have some issues that are not clear. And what isn't clear is basically when we talk about this idea of Zahur, do we treat it like an actual intercourse, or do we treat it as, in English, intercourse is the closest thing that you would have to the concept that we call the sexual relationship, because intercourse would mean that you have an interrelationship in which there's a mixture of genes. That's the pashtus of it. So the idea over there would be fundamentally intercourse. But by a male, you don't have that. And as Rashi pointed out yesterday, and here the Gemara's Lashon is, that's where we're up to today, Omar le Ravina le Rava, Hame'are b'zechur mahu. Now note the language. Hame'are b'zechur means that even though in normal, when we're talking about normal intercourse, we're talking about, according to, as we'll see, we learned that from the Psukim of Mikorah Era, by Nida and other places, that we don't need real penetration. What we actually need is only what is called Ha'ara. Now, we, of course, there's a machlokas in the Gemara. What exactly is Ha'ara? So some say it means a partial penetration, so that at least the Atorah is inserted, which is a small, tiny insertion. And others say you don't even need insertion at all. You just need Nishikat Eiver. You need genital contact, but it doesn't have to actually demand insertion. Now the question is, says Ravina to Rava, since what we're talking about in a male is a function of what the Torah expands as genitals, would that be true as well? Note again, zechur, not zachar, because there's no specific erva called zachar. There's only an erva called zechur. In which case, is there also a din of just me'areh? Well, without penetration, would that be considered an actual act of bia? Ma'areh b'zachur, I don't understand what the question is. We know that no matter what it is that we're talking about here, the Torah specifically compared the dinim of the male to the female, because it says, etzachar lo tishkav mishkavei isha. Remember, that was the whole basis of the extension of the concept of bia in normal heterosexual bia to both a normal bia and also to an anal bia. So if the Torah is comparing them, and we know that the halacha is by an isha, there's a concept of ha'ara, why would there not be an issue of ha'ara by a male as well? Okay, correct, correct. The question was different. The question was, hamare bivehima mahu. What would be the din legabe an animal? Now, by an animal, it does not have any of these comparisons to mishkavei isha. So what would be the din over there? Omar Lay said, Rava, well, look, there is an extra pasuk that speaks about Hara. And that is that we know that besides the din of a nidam, which it says at Mikora Hera, for some reason, the Torah actually took an example of Ervata Chotim Chava Chotavicha. So for some reason, specifically, your uncle, your maternal uncle, or your paternal uncle, aunt, I'm talking about aunt. So your mother's sister, your father's sister, you're not allowed to sleep with. And over there it adds, et sheira he'era. Well, why in the world do we need that? If all of the arayot are compared one to another. Because at the end of the parsha, it says, et kol ha-to'evot, any of the above to'evot. So if they're all compared to another, we don't need to know that there's a din of ha'ara specifically by a mother's sister or father's sister. So, im eino inyan la'ara, tektiva gabi achot aviv achot imo delo tzricha, we have no need for that concept of ha'ara that was mentioned by your aunt And therefore, we have a klal that im eino inyan to X, tneu inyan to Y. So we don't have an inyan la X because our ishkish la hara denida. We've already compared the arayas elazeh, and we know that it says beferish at the posik of ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-toivot ha-ela v'nichrutu ha-nefashot ha-osod mikerev amam. In which case, we already know the din of Hara, Tineo Inyan La Hara de Beima. The one place where we would not know that there's a concept called Hara would be an animal. But that's weird, says the Gemara. Why in the world, if the Torah is coming to add with an Im Eino Inyan, isn't it more reasonable that the Im Eino Inyan would be in the same general set of issues that the thing that we're trying to apply it to is? In other words, we're talking about applying it to a behema. A behema is one of the set of the chi of misa, right? Because there's a chi of skila for a behema. Yet, where do we find this halacha? In the din of achot aviv, achot imo. But achot aviv and achot imo is not a chi of misa at all. It's part of the set of the lighter arayot where there's only a chi of karet. So therefore, ask the Gemara, I don't understand, if behemas mechayve mitot bedin, then why would the Torah have chosen to put the din of hara that's meant to apply specifically to an animal in the set of chayve kritot? Normally, dechsiv la'ara didoga bechayve kritot, lichteve gabi chayve mitot bedin. After all, im eino inyan is not just this random kind of thing. The im eino inyan means that we see a set as being more broad than you would have originally assumed. And the dinim within the set apply to other members of the set. But to say that we're going to stretch the din of this particular halacha and make it from the dine kores into the dinim of a behema is a stretch. Why would the Torah want us to stretch the concept instead of simply putting it together with the Chayve Mises? This, by the way, is an insight into the general halacha of Im Eino Inyan. Answers the Gemara, you need to recognize that that entire pasuk is a unique pasuk. Why? Because it's a pasuk in Kedoshim that essentially tells you exactly the Azorites that were already mentioned in Achrei Mos. And remember, we learned in Yevamos that that entire pasuk is coming to teach me additional dinim that then become applicable to the other arayas. But it's a pasuk that is there as an extra din that incorporates many different halakhas that we learn from it. So it's not a normal pasuk in Kedoshim. And therefore, we understand that when the Torah is using that pasuk to teach me various dinim, it also utilized that pasuk to teach me the din of Hara. The question is, if somebody is ma'are ba'atzmo, mahu, how about if somebody screws himself? But obviously he can't do a very good job of that, so he's only ma'are ba'atzmo. Omar Leis, Rav Shesha said, you know, you're making me sick. Give us time. You're nauseating me. What kind of nonsense? So some learn that that's the Oruch's shot. You're just making me sick. The others learn Kivastan is a lotion of Kavustias, which is the person who is going the Odom, Rashi says in other places. So the Kikab used to say, and that means that you're just taking my mind away on nonsense. There's no way for somebody to do that. Omer Rav Ashi, now. There's looking at this from a technical point of view. I don't understand what the question is. If you're talking about a person who has an erection, there is absolutely no way that he is going to be able to manage bending his penis in that fashion. And if he doesn't have an erection, then it's dependent on the machlokas about whether it's considered to bichlal to be an act of intercourse when there's no erection. So that's a machlokas. It is called mishamesh meit ba'arayot. So if somebody who utilizes a flaccid penis, is that considered to be chayiv or potter? So if you hold according to the Mandi Omer mishamesh meit ba'arayot patur, So then over here, it would be patur, ocha patur. L'man d'yomra chayav, ocha mechayav tarte. Over here, if he manages to screw himself, so then he would be chayav twice. Mechayav ashochev, u'mechayav anishkav. He would be both the passive partner and the active partner. So now let me point out to you that this is nonsense from the typical view of the idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about arayot. When we talk about arayot, remember the main idea is intercourse. That's really two different organisms. It doesn't make sense to talk about this crazy case because it's the same person. So if this guy's got a very serious case of Portnoy's complaint, what the heck is the difference to him whether we're talking about a baseball glove or we're talking about his own rear end? All that he's doing, basically, is masturbating. Why in the world do we view this as an act of bia? It's ridiculous. And in fact, if you think about it, that is the real issue. There is such a thing considered to be bichlal, an act of bia. Can a person actually have a concept of bia with himself? So it would certainly appear that this is the point that Rashi was making earlier. When you're dealing with a zohar, there is no erva called a zohar. There's only an erva called zechur. Because of that, we see this from various issues. A, the very fact that we have a question like this means that the Torah is focusing on anuses. For some reason, the Torah doesn't like anuses to be part of sexuality. Fine. So when it comes to a zohar, so that is off the wall. But it's the anus that's the problem. It's not the relationship to the person. When it comes, and because of that, we utilize this idea of mishkevei isha to be mechadesh that vis-a-vis a woman, the Torah will actually tolerate such a thing. So it's considered to be mishkevei isha. The Gemara considers elsewhere that enachinami bia shalo kedarka to a goy was never made mutter, except that since there's nothing that a Jew is mutter in that a goy is osirin, so it doesn't make sense to say that a goy would be chayev for sleeping with his own wife anally. Now, how in the world would you think such a thing? Again, because we're focusing on the actual physical extension of the genitals, right? We're not referring, as obviously a person's wife he's allowed to sleep with. Bevabai, the point is that we have an focus on an organ. That's the idea. Therefore, in this case, if we understand that to be the point, so then we can actually seriously consider the question of whether a person is able to, so to speak, sleep with himself, even though obviously that's not the point. But is there a specific issue? That's the question. Fascinating extension, because so some learn that this might be an extension to all of the arayas. The nafkamina that would make, I don't know whether it's good to get into the details, but there's a fascinating Reb Kivager that asks, why would it be mutter to sleep with a woman who is pregnant if the din is that uber's yerech imo, so benogea nezikin, when you damage, remember we had it before in Baba Kama, and we had it in Baba Metzia, the uber is considered to have been involved in the nezik, if you hold uber yerech imo. So then that would mean if you copulate with a woman who's pregnant, you're also copulating with the uber. So why wouldn't that create problems of passing the Uber baby, sleeping with your own descendants, whatever it is? It's a fascinating question. How do you answer such a question? Right? So, okay, if the question is the focus, that's a somewhat answer, Reb Kivager, that way. If the focus is on the organ, then it has nothing to do with the person. So who cares whether Uber Yerech Imo, it wouldn't be Nogia in this particular case. The Reb Kivager didn't say that answer, and I don't believe that's the answer. I believe that that's the whole point that Rashi is making, that there is no erva of all males being related to one another. The whole concept doesn't exist. It's only zachur. That's the point. So over here, strangely, a person could be muchayev, both ashochev and as the Nishkav. Very strange. Okay, the Gemara takes this for granted. Anyway, moving on to the end of the Mishnah. There we talked about the din of why it is, and the Mishnah said something very beautiful. Why is it that the animal would be Nishkav? After all, the animal didn't have any kind of choice. So what was the reason? So the Mishnah said two possibilities. The Mishnah said one is because a person was nichshal through that behemah, and the other one was so that when that animal walks down the street, people shouldn't say, that's the animal that so-and-so was nichshal from. And we talked about even the Malach statement to Bilam to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merachim on the kovod of Bnei Adam, even when they make asses out of themselves. So the question over here is, if a goy sleeps with an animal, what is the din, the gabi, the animal? The Mishnah gave us two reasons, one of which was takala, and one of which was the embarrassment, the kalon. So the question is, do we need both of those things, takala vikalon, in order for the animal to be nizkal? Is the point that where there's takala vikalon, that then we are psycho the animal? But in this case, if a goy sleeps with an animal, there is no real kalon. Because even though he's usser and he was nichshal, but you can't consider it to be something that's a kalon because it's very accepted among the goyim to be sleeping with animals. And because of that, we're not going to be interested. There's two possibilities. Maybe because it's a norm. It may be because maybe the Torah is not makbid on protecting the covet of a goy, which l'chora from the raya that we brought from Bilam is not necessarily the case. Okay, but there would be two possibilities. Or is the very fact that the goy is usher, remember, one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach includes all of those arayot that were mentioned in Gan Eden, in the Vayu L'Basar Echad. So, Dilma Takala, Afa Pisha Ein Kalon. Maybe it's enough, just the fact that even though there may be no, how would you say Kalon in English? It's not embarrassment, it's a general sense of degradation. Yeah, it's a degradation. Okay, so even though the kalon that the person feels, but here we're talking about the kalon mibachut. Omer of Sheshet.
Grace, Loshen, Del Sebs. It's great deformation. Isn't maybe that's what people consume for deformation of character?
Yeah, but defamation particularly means somebody that says something about someone. Yes. Yeah, that's what defamation means. Look it up in the dictionary. Omer of Sheshes. Tenitua. The answer is clear from the Braita. The Braita says like this. Uma ilanot. She'en ochlin, ve'en shotin, ve'en merichin. Look, you've got trees that the Torah says, kill those trees. Burn those trees. Destroy those trees. Straight out of Harry Potter. There's this voice up there that's telling you, slash, burn, destroy. What's that? That's talking about trees that were used for Avodas Kochavim. That's the Asherah. And if a tree, I mean, look, trees, I mean, they really, we don't consider them to be fully aware. I mean, they don't eat, they don't drink, they don't smell. And nonetheless, the Torah says, burn, slash, destroy. Why is that? Because Adam Takalal Yadam, if a human being could worship that tree, so then that's enough of a reason to destroy a tree. So Hamat'et Chaveiro Midarke Chayim L'Darke Mitah, you have somebody who's a Mesi to Mediach. He persuades a person to come and to be Oved Averes Kochavim, taking him away. A human being who is aware, who is Echel and Chesa and Meriach and lives, and you take him away from life and you turn him Ladarke Mita? Alachat kama vekama. Imagine how much more that we should burn, slash, and wipe him out. That's why the Torah has this tremendous chumrah legabe a mesit, says the Gemara. If you're going to say that, that would be that will destroy anything that was used for Adam's chait, that's enough. And of course, that would be the truth when it comes to the Asherah. So then it should also be true that if a goy bows down to his animal, so then we should have to kill that animal, because after all, it was the reason that he was nichshal. You're saying if a tree is going to be burned down, so certainly an animal should be burned down, and yet the halacha is that it doesn't become usser at all. It's only usser for the mizbeach. We have an extra pasuk to tell me that nevad is usser, but there's no din of skila. So according to you, the same brayta that you're trying to bring is a raya, that there would be a chiv of skila on a behema that a goy slept with, would be true also if a goy worshipped. No, says Rav Sheshes, that's not a problem. Because there's nothing in the Torah where mi'ika mide de l'Yisrael lo asar ula oved kochavim asar. The truth is that in a sense, logically, it may be true. Like we just said, maybe even anal intercourse, it should be true that it would be usher to a goy. But we don't say that something that the Torah was matir to a Ben Yisroel on a higher level of Kedusha would suddenly be usher to a non-Jew. That doesn't make sense. So therefore, we should say that it's mutter. Well, why not say that it's usher for the Jew too? I mean, Yisroel gufei litzer. Look, I mean, we say we're ready to destroy the animal with skila because a Jew slept with that animal. Mide dehavi aravia. Om Rabbaye, that's true, but there's a big difference between the level of kalon in something that has to do with sleeping with animals. I mean, people are really turned off by somebody who does that kind of thing, and it's a complete total degradation of his whole standing. Mashain Kane, you know what, going to church, I mean, okay, that's not so terrible, you know, I mean, people go to church all over the world. It's not quite the same as screwing your local horse. I mean, they don't see it that way. Okay. So, zeklono meruba, vezeklono mu'atz. Maybe that's the point. Wait a minute. But didn't we just bring a raya from trees? Hare ilanot, de ein kilonan meruba. And yet the Torah says, burn, slash, and wipe it out. Amra Torah shaitzro fechale. No, I'm talking about Balei Chaim. Remember that the Torah has a great deal of concern for how it is that we treat living animals. And it views the way that we treat living animals as needing to be similar to the way we treat humans in many ways because of the level of consciousness in Balei Chaim. Look, I mean, the very fact that the Torah says you have to bring that shor into court and you have to give it the same bezdin, 23 dayonim. I mean, that's crazy. I don't understand. So obviously the Torah is looking at an animal as something that needs to be dealt with as a sentient creature. And therefore it needs to be treated with the respect due to sentience. But when it comes to a tree, and that's the point, the tree doesn't really participate on that level in life. So because of that, maybe the Torah is less makbid. That's not a raya. So the fact that a tree is going to be burned and slashed is not a reason why we would do something like that to an animal. So I'm talking about animals. The Torah is very makbid on how it is that we treat sentience. Rava says that's not the point. The point is that there's a tremendous difference. If an animal, look, an animal is completely passive when it comes to being worshipped, right? So there, the Torah is not going to say we should kill the animal. But the truth is that an animal that participates in something sexual is also going to enjoy that some level of participation in that sexuality. You have to turn that animal on. It's got to be in heat. And so on, in order to be able to have these relationships. Therefore, Amra Torah, Behema, Ne'enet Me'avira Tehareg, in the event that the animal was involved, so then it's considered to be a partner in the chait, and we say that the Adam was Nichshal. But if the animal was totally was just sitting there and doesn't even know that it's being worshipped. I mean, there may be some animals that feel really good about being worshipped, you know, but it's unlikely. Well, wait a minute. But the trees don't enjoy being worshipped. And we burn, slash, and wipe out the trees, don't we? Again, I'm talking about sentient creatures. I'm not talking about trees. So, Bebale Chaim Kamrina, as we said before, we find that the Torah is very careful about our treating sentience with respect. Okay, so we still don't know. What is the basis of the skila? Is it enough that there should just be a nichshal, or do we also need that it should be kavlon? So now, if we analyze the Mishnah, we seem to have arrived from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah gave two reasons for why it is that the Torah said that the shor should be niskal. So let's take a look at those two reasons. The first reason we said was that since an Adam was nichshal by that shor, that's enough of a reason. But the second reason introduces something else. It introduces a combination of nichshal and kavon. Because it says, Shalote behema overet bashuk. Now, overet bashuk is obviously has to do with the way that it reflects on the individual that had sinned with that animal, right? Because that's the point. It's watered down and people are going to say, oh, this is that animal. But it doesn't say this is the animal that so-and-so had sex with. It says this is the animal sheniska ploni al yada. Now, niska ploni al yada implies that we're talking about the kishalon, not simply the kalon. So then we're talking about both things put together in the Sefer of the Mishnah. So if the end of the Mishnah says both of those things, so my love, the Sefer, which is insisting on both takola and kalon as the second reason, and therefore it is the good reason to recycle that animal, then the Reisha, which gave a different reason, has got to be talking about a takola and only shenichshal, but without kalon. Now, what would that case be? Where would there be just nichshal without kalon? Ah! Ovid kachovim, abal v'ema. There you go. So basically, the Mishnah has addressed your question directly. If there is kishalon, that is sufficient. So the Mishnah specifically gave both of those reasons so that you would understand that in the event that you have an Ovid kachovim where there is no kalon, there would still be a reason to be circled to behema. Otherwise, what's the point? Just tell me, if you need both, just tell me the second one. Well, maybe not. Because maybe, I would say, look, you're right, the Sefer is both takala v'kalon, but maybe the point is, in the Reisha, maybe what it means is that kalon without takala would be the point, even though it uses the word nichshal, but nichshal can mean he was ruined by this. That doesn't mean he was ruined in terms of avera. It could be his reputation was ruined. I mean, it doesn't, nichshal could mean anything. So if that's the case, maybe the Reisha is coming to include a different case, a case where we have a kalon, which we don't have by the goy, but there's no takala. And there would be no chiv on the human. What would that be? Not a goy, a Yisrael. But he was bo al ha-behemah b'shogeg. He didn't know that this was usher. It's still very embarrassing. So it certainly puts him into a position of kalon, but it doesn't put him into a position of nichshal in terms of being niskal. So that is the point. Ukidaboy Rav Amnuna. We know that this itself was a big question. Because Rav Amnuna asked, Tabai Rav Amnuna, Yisrael haba al habehema bishogeg. Mao. Do we need, here's the opposite case. We have two cases where we could separate out the kalon and the kishalon. What was that? So one case we have kalon below takala. That case is Rav Amnuna's case, a Yisrael who is Baal HaBehema Bishoke. And then we have Takala below Kalon. And what is that? That's the case of the Ovid Kachovim.
Now, we don't know which one of those cases the Mishnah is addressing. So, basically, boy Rav Amnuna, Yisrael HaBala Behima B'Shogeg Mahu. Do we need both Takala V'Kalon? And in this case, we have Kalon, but we don't have Takala because it was a Shogeg. Ol Dilma Kalon Alfa Pisha in Takala. And indeed, we have a search for a solution, first from the Mishnah in Nida. So the Mishnah in Nida says like this, Omer of Yosef Toshma, Bat Shalosh Shanim, V'Yom Echad, Mitkadeshet B'Viyana, this is going to take a little bit of time, we have to look through the whole Mishnah, and then Rav Yosef is going to come and say what he thinks the Raya is from the Mishnah. So you have a three-year-old and a day girl. Okay, so we know that that is the shiur in which a female is considered to be sexually capable. Less than that, she does not have genitals, and therefore it's very hard to have sex with someone who doesn't have genitals. They may have things that look like genitals, but the Torah doesn't define them as genitals. Okay, so after the age of 3 years and 1 day, there, let's say there's a yavam. And the yavam, her father had married her to a guy, the guy dies, and now that guy's brother sleeps with her. As long as she's over the age of 3, he was kena her, as is yavama. And if she's married and somebody sleeps, this is a different case, if she's a married 3-year-old and somebody else sleeps with her, he's going to be chayev because of adultery, mishumeshesh. And if she is a nida, as long as she's over the age of 3, and remember the Gemara Nida points out that hormonally you often have infants who are Nida because they absorb hormones from their mother, and therefore they're Roya Dam even at birth. And because of that, she would be a Nida at the age of 3. If somebody actually now sleeps with her, she would be Mitame, the one who sleeps with her, like any other Nida, because she's over 3 years old. What is the din of someone who sleeps with a Nida? Well, it says, Tehinidato Alav, that person becomes Tomei like Anita, but it's not literally like Anita. There's one very important difference. And that is that Anita is Metame also Mishkava, just like Azov and Azova, and therefore, in the classic case of the princess and the pea, she's got a Mishkav Tachton, the bottom mattress, 200 mattresses down, is going to become tummy. Obviously, it'll be but tummy the P, because the din is that the bottom, I think that was the whole point in the story, no, was the P tummy or not? So if somebody touches the bottom mattress, then he will become tummy, because it's an av hatuma. But when it comes to a bayal nida, he's also metame mishkav tachta. Ah, but he's only metame mishkav tachtain, the way that a zov would be metame something that is on him, which makes it tame only enough to be metame the pea. And that's exactly what the story of the princess and the pea was talking about. So is the pea tame or not? That was referring to the case of the Boyal Nida when he slept on the princess's bed and he was metame the pea. Because otherwise, why would it discuss a pea? It could have discussed even a person who touches the bottom. So it's a raya that we're talking about a bayal nida in the case. So therefore, I'm afraid someone may take me seriously. Okay, but that's called metame mishkav tachtain ke'elyain. So it's only ke'elyain shel zov. But anyway, getting back to the Mishnah nida, so she would be metame him enough that he could be metame a mishkav, but only to be metame oichlein. Furthermore, Ni says the kohen, she gets married to a kohen, she's able to eat truma. Otherwise, even if she got married to the kohen and she's only 2, so maybe her father was mekabel kedushin at 2, that would be a real marriage, but that would only have a din of an arusa. Why? Because someone who is incapable of intercourse cannot have a chuppah. Because the point of chuppah is that you are making her entirely your wife. And here you can't make her entirely your wife. So she would only be an arusa, and min rabban, and the arusa doesn't eat truma. But here, when she's over 3, she would be able to eat truma. If bala echad min apsulim, one of the people that asser a woman to a Kohen and turn her into, let's say, a Zayah, plus Lamina Kuhuna, it would be a true Bia. Im Ba'ala Echad Mikola Arayota Murot B'Torah, and if any Erva sleeps with her, then they would die. I mean, she wouldn't, obviously, because she's too young to be Chayv. They're Mumatina Yada, but she's Patura. Now, here is my proof. Now that you heard the whole Mishnah, okay, ready for my proof? Hold on tight. Here's my proof. It says Rabbi Yosef, Bo'ala Echad Mikol Ha'arayot. All right, now what does that include? That includes even a behemoth. Now, over here, the three-year-old is not going to be chayevet, so there's no takola. So that's exactly the same as Rebbe Muna's case. A Yisrael, who was a shogeg, and that's called no takola, but kalon. And it says over here that we will kill that animal, mumatina yada. If we're going to kill that animal, it's obvious that the kalon itself is a reason for the skila of the shor. And there you go. We've answered Rav Amnuna and proven conclusively that kalon is sufficient. Says the Gemara, not true. This is a misunderstanding of a very important halacha. When we say that a katan is putter, does that mean that the katan didn't sin? Or does that mean that the Torah is letting him off the hook? Now, this could have a very big nafkamina. Let's say a katan sinned and then he grew up. Does he have to do teshuva on his sin, or did he not sin? Ah, now that is a big discussion. Now here that we're saying kivan de mezidagi, she in this case did this on purpose because it says hiptura. I mean, obviously, if she didn't do it on purpose, it wouldn't say hiptura, right? So if it says hiptura, it means that even though she was a mezida, she's only ptura because she's too young. But that means that there was a takala, except that the Torah has rachamim on children. Okay, still young, you know what you're doing. So chas rachmana Allah, right? But the Torah was only chas on her. The Torah is not chas on the animal. So maybe the animal is mumas in al yada because there was takala. But in a case where it would be b'shogeg, which was Rav Abnuna's case, and there was no takola, there was only kalon, maybe not. These are incredible, incredible broad sugyas, which touch upon so many fundamental issues. It's mamish remarkable. Omar Rava, I will bring you. That's the whole point. You think that Kotan is incapable of mezid. That is not true. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Kotan is perfectly capable of mezid. It's called mezid. But the Torah doesn't make you responsible for it because of the level of low level of choice that's involved. But that level is still called mezid. Intent is still intent. Choice is a different issue, right? Obviously, there's intent on the part of a katan, very clearly. There's intent on the part on the part even of infants, very clear-cut intent. That's not the question. So then there could be, that would be a mezid, because he knows intellectually that this is usser. The fact that he doesn't incorporate this with das, that's not the definition of the takola. That's the definition of the responsibility. That's what the Gemara is saying. Make sense? Begin? Okay. Mazel tov. Oh, really? Why didn't you tell me before? Ay. I'm so sorry. Maybe adjust this whole device here. Okay. Is that better? All right, good. Meanwhile, we're... Okay. Omar Rava Tashma. So, Ben Teisha Shanim. So here we have also the Mishnah in Nida. Ben Teisha Shanim V'yom Echad. Here we have the same Mishnah that we had about the girl, we have about the boy. The boy needs to be 9 years old and into his next year. So he's a Ben Teisha Shanim V'yom Echad. If he is sleeping with his Yevama, then that is considered to be a kinyan, because he doesn't need the das for the kinyan in this case, because the Torah made that kinyan to anyone who sleeps with his yavama, since the nine-year-old is in possession of genitals, so he can sleep with his yavama. But he can't divorce her. Once he sleeps with her, he's kinda her, and he has to wait until he grows up to divorce her. Boy, it's a dangerous situation. Umetame kenida, and now if he sleeps with her and she's a nida, so then he will be metame to be metame mishkaf tachton kelyon, as we said in the Princess and the Pea. And if he is posel, he will be posel. And if he's a kohen, he is not eno ma'achil. He can't, however, be ma'achil truma. Here we're talking about not the yavama. We're talking about a normal case in which he's trying to marry a woman. He is not able to marry that woman, and therefore it's not kinyono, because he doesn't have kinyoni. Uposelata behima, if he sleeps with an animal, that animal will become posel me'agabe ha'mizbeach, which is a special din for Kodesh, that we don't allow an animal that was involved with this to be on the Mizbeah. And the animal would be Niskelet al Yado. And if any of the Arayot sleep with him, they would die because of him. Mumatin al Yado. So, over here, if we're including the animal, there's only kalon, and there's no takala, and it says that the animal would be niskelet, mekatani niskelet al yado. So it's very clear. That's the answer to Rav Amnuna. And the way that we're doicha the answer is the same way we're doicha the Rav Yosef answer. Kivan de mezidu takala nami ika, rachmanu de chosale, and the Torah was only chosale, ale didei chas rachmana, but on the behema, lo chas rachmana. And now, let us finally get to our Mishnah, which, of course, was what we were looking for all along. So, Tashma, our Mishnah says, Shalote behema overet b'shuk, v'yomri zohi sheniskar ploni al yada. Now, we already know what this Gemara is going to do, right? Because we did the same thing in the opposite direction when we were trying to answer the question about the goy. That was the opposite, where you have the takola, but you don't have the kalon. Over here you have the kalon, this is Rav Amnuna, you have the kalon, but you don't have the takola. So the Mishnah is obviously talking about one of these two cases, right? Okay, so here the Mishnah said, Shlo tebeim overet b'shuk v'yom rezoi sheniska ploni al yada, which includes two things. Overet b'shuk means people are going to be pointing and saying, aha. And then the niskala yada, that's the takola. So my love, midaseifa takala vikalon, resha kalon below takala. What would that case be? Ayisrola bala behema shogeg. And of course, the way that we're docha it is a mirror image of what we did before. Lo. Actually, the seifa, you're right, is both takala kalon, but maybe the resha is takala below kalon, which would mean the case of Adovid Kochavim, Habba al Habema, which was the original question Rav Sheshes asked, but not the case that Rav Amnuna is asking. So which would mean that if you had an animal that went through both of these, meaning that a goy slept with that animal, and then a Jew slept with that animal, and it was Bishoge, so one way or another, the Mishnah would be saying that the animal would be niskelet, right? I see that Ori is shocked by this whole discussion. Maybe she's a little bit too young. But anyway, although I find that Divrei Torah have only good things to do for little girls, no problem. So go on, Rabbi Ozai. That's what you would think, would you not? That you would be chayav one way or the other to be sokolat behema. It's interesting that the Rambam seems to paskin from this language that there is definitely, not that it's a suffix beside a suffix, but that there is definitely no chiyuv of skila on the shor, which means if you put the two together, we wouldn't say meman of shach, it would be niskal, which means that he holds that goof of the fact that the Mishnah leaves this open in both directions means that it's not a chiyuv, which is Wow. Okay. Not clear what the basis of the Rambam is, but some bring a Yerushalmi that it's Nogea. It doesn't hold like this. But in any event, we leave it here open to either Rav Hamnuna or Rav Sheshes. Wonderful.